The following lecture by Rabbi Yitzchak Ginzburg was recorded live and is presented to you free of charge by Galilei Institute. Your donation will help us to bring an ever-expanding selection of quality audio lectures by Rabbi Ginzburg. Galilei Institute is a non-profit organization and all donations are tax-deductible in the USA. To donate, just click on the Donate button on the Inner Dimension homepage at www.inner.org. www.inner.org or email us at inner@inner.org.
The Torah portion of Re'eh begins with the verse See. Re'eh means see. In the imperative, see, I have given you today blessing and curse. And then it says the blessing is if you listen to the to Hashem's commandments in the Torah and live in accordance with Hashem's will. And the curse is the opposite. If you will not listen and not pay attention, and you will stray away from the path that Hashem has given you in the Torah. Then it immediately continues to say that when you, which is we the Jewish people, are about now to enter our promised land, the land of Israel, in order to inherit the land, you shall give the blessing on the Mount Gerizim, is the name of one mountain, and the curse you shall give on another mountain, which is the mountain opposite it, which is Har Eval, the mountain of Eval. And then it goes on to describe exactly where these two mountains are situated in Israel. Now these two mountains are situated both above, they're the two borders of the city of Shechem, which is also called Elon Moreh. And this was actually the very first site that the Jewish people went to, traveled to, after passing over the Jordan River and entering the land in the days of Joshua. So the very first thing, which here in our weeks, in our portion of our week, tells us to do is that we must first go to the city of Shechem, and there you have two mountains on the two sides, one to the south and one to the north of the city. The one to the south is called Gerizim, and the one to the north is called Eval. And you should place the blessing and the curse which I am giving you today, and which you shall see. It's very important that this whole portion begins with the word see. You shall see. And it has to do with the eyes, as we'll presently explain. You shall see the blessing on the mountain of Gerizim, and you shall see the curse on the mountain of Eval. So even physically, it's very apparent, even visible, that the mountain of Gerizim, even nowadays, is a green mountain. It's a mountain full of vegetation. I mean that there's blessing on the mountain, whereas the opposite mountain, the mountain of Eval, is a barren and a desolate mountain that has no vegetation on it, just stones. So even physically, when we look at these two mountains, we see blessing on the mountain of Gerizim, and the mountain just opposing it, on the other side of Shechem, is we see apparently a curse, which is desolation and barrenness. There are very, very deep allusions to these two mountains. 3 weeks ago, when we meditated upon the portion of Dvarim, which is the first Torah portion in the book of Deuteronomy, so our meditation was also focused upon a mountain, upon the first mountain to the north of Eretz Israel, that when the Jewish people returns in the time of Mashiach to our promised land, especially from the north, the first spot that we'll be able to envision the whole land of Israel is from Har Hermon. And we spoke at length about the significance and the meaning of Har Hermon, and that Har Hermon is a mountain of snow, because it's the biggest mountain in the whole Middle East. It's a tremendous and gigantic mountain, and it represents the peak and the summit point of faith in the superconscious level of the crown of the soul in the soul of Israel. Now these two mountains, the mountain of Gerizim and the mount of Ebal, go together. The first mountain in a certain way is Hermon. So in this week's portion, we're now continuing our general meditation on mountains. We know that the patriarchs of the Jewish people are called mountains. The matriarchs are called hills. And the very image of a mountain is a very, very important image for us, because it represents the beginning of our existence as a Jewish people, believing in one God and receiving the divine mission to spread our faith and to spread our wisdom and knowledge of one God throughout the whole world. So actually in Kabbalah we now have a triplet of mountains. Now this triplet is in the also has a very simple geometric form. It's called a segota, with one, like if you would have one dot at the top and then another dot to the right below it and another dot to the left opposite the right one. So you have a triangle which is three dots, that in terms of the sfirot, of the supernal lights with which Hashem creates the world. So the top dot, as we just mentioned before, is the crown. And then the other two dots are actually the two eyes of one's consciousness. That the right eye is the eye of wisdom, and the left eye is the eye of understanding. Now we're taught in Kabbalah that from understanding and from the eye of understanding, judgments and even severe judgments sometimes emit and become manifest. Whereas from the right eye, the eye of wisdom, what derives from the eye of wisdom is pure blessing. So actually, as we said, this week's portion of Re'eh begins with the word to see. I mean, it's all in the context of sight, of direct vision. Sight has to it two eyes. So actually, it means that we're seeing the blessing with our right eye, and we're seeing the curse with our left eye. Now, what actually took place when the Jewish people went over the Jordan River and then went to Shechem and saw these two mountains? So the Torah goes on to tell us that six of the 12 tribes shall ascend to the Mount of Gerizim, the Mount of the Blessing, and the other six of the tribes shall ascend to the opposite mountain of Ebal. And then the Levites and the priests that are at the bottom in the midst of the city of Shechem, of Elon Moreh, they will turn to the mountain of the blessing and express the blessings, and turn to the mountain of the curse and express the curse. So the fact that there were six tribes on the mountain of the curse means that this, the curse is not just totally negative and bad. There must be something positive about it. And the positive thing is that the very word for curse in Hebrew, kalal, the root of the word means shining, means like very brilliant, shining light. It's used in the context of the idiom of nechoshet kalal, that when copper is polished and to the fullest extent, it shines with tremendous brilliance. But the brilliant shining light is sometimes blinding, meaning there's some blinding brilliance in the curse that cannot be incorporated into our consciousness. That's why it translates itself into the opposite of what we understand and can receive as blessing. But it comes from a very, very high source. I mean, it's not something which is absolutely evil. In a certain sense, it's not evil at all, even though it's the result of our not listening to Hashem and not following the path that He is teaching us. But as we know, everything in the Torah, even the apparent bad things, come from a very high source, not to simply punish us or to express some revenge, God forbid, but they come to be metaken, to rectify us. For this reason, there's also a very important law that appears in the continuation of our portion, that when after the people gave the blessing on the Harg on the Mount of Gerizim and the cross on the Mount of Ebal, a altar, a very, very special and holy altar with sacrifice, was built not on the Mountain of Gerizim, which is the Mountain of Blessing, but especially, specifically on the Mount of Ebal. Meaning there's something very, very special about the Mount of Ebal. That mountain, which is called the Mountain of the Curse, is the one that merited to have the altar, this special altar with the sacrifice built on it. And for that reason, six of the holy, all of the 12 tribes of Israel, holy tribes, six of the tribes ascended to the Mount of Ebal. Obviously, it's clear that the two mountains with the blessing and the curse create a state of perfect equilibrium and stability within the consciousness and the soul of the Jewish people, meaning that you can't have one without the other. It's a state of balance. Obviously, Hashem wants only the good to come to us and only the revealed and manifest blessing. And that's why he gives us the Torah and the Mitzvot, that we should listen to them and we should follow the way. But there's something deep about the curse, that it creates a state of balance, just like the two points which create one, we'll call it one line of the horizon of one sight, as we'll go on to explain, above which is the point, the middle point above, which represents Har Hermon that we talked about. Right, so now we'll continue our meditation. Try to put in our minds three mountains. In a moment we'll add another mountain, a fourth mountain. But now, first we see three mountains. Mount Hermon at the top, the snowy mountain, which is a white mountain. And to the right, below it, we see Har Gerizim. The Har Hermon, since it's very, very high, it's also like super sight. We can even imagine that the way that we see, that we envision Har Hermon, is through a third eye, like it's spoken about in Kabbalah, an eye in the middle of the forehead, or even above that, the eye that can envision the crown. But then the other two eyes, the two apparent eyes of the in the head, so one is looking at Har Gerizim to the right, and the other to the left is looking at Har Ebal. And as we said before, Har Gerizim is green, and Har Ebal, which is desolate, so we'll call it gray. So we can now even translate our meditation to this point in terms of color, that at the very top we have snow white, the snow white mountain, and then to the right we have the green flourishing prospering mountain, and to the left below it we have the gray barren mountain of Har Ebal. In a certain way, grayness is more like whiteness even than greenness, also implying that there's some cycle involved here, that in a certain way Ebal itself is returning up, it's as though there's a cycle beginning from Hermon and then going to the right to Gerizim, and then to the left to Ebal, and then from Ebal returning back to the top, which is Hermon. Now this becomes even more apparent when we analyze these three, the names of the three mountains in accordance with their numerical values, their gematria. Hermon equals 304, Gerizim equals 260, and Ebal equals 112. 260 Gerizim, the mountain of blessing, is 10 times the value of Hashem's essential name, 26. 10 times 26 is 260. The fact that Ebal in a certain way links itself to Hermon even more than Gerizim is when we combine their numerical values, which is 304 Hermon together with 112 Ebal, so together it's 416, which is 16 times 26. So now we'll even contemplate more. The Gerizim by itself is 10 times 26. 10 is the value of the first letter of Hashem's name, Yud Kei Vav Kei. The Yud equals 10. The other two mountains, when they're put together, equals 16 times 26. But 16 itself is the value of the other three letters, of the next three letters of Hashem's name. The He and the Vav and the He together equals 16. Meaning that now if we actually calculate the full value of all of the three mountains together, so it equals 676, which is exactly 26 squared. So there's some very, very consummate unity involved in this triplet of the white mountain and the green mountain and the gray mountain all together. This triplet is called the three first divine spherot. That it together it equals 676, which is 26 squared. The middle one, Grizim itself, is the 10, because it also corresponds to Chokhmah, we said, to wisdom. And wisdom itself in Kabbalah is the secret of the Yud, which is the 10 of Hashem's essential name. And the other two together are 16 times. So 10 times 26 plus 16 times 26 obviously equals 26 times 26, which is 26 squared. Now, we see also that as numbers, the numbers descend. That the number of the mountain of the crown is 304, and then the next mountain is 260, and the third mountain is 112. Means that these are three numbers that are descending in their value. Which means that we can create a simple quadratic series of numbers, and if we do so we'll see that the driving force behind the series is the number minus 104. How do we do this? I'll just say in short that through the process which is called taking finite differences, the difference between 112 and 260 is 148. The difference between 260 and 304 is 44. The difference between 148 and 44 itself is minus 104. 104 is 4 times 26. So the driving force here is the minus 104. 34 minus 104 is minus 60, meaning that the next number, which is actually the number before 304, is 304 minus 60, which is 244. And then the final positive number in the series will be 244 minus 164, which is 80. So if we now follow this, how we describe and derive the full value of any quadratic series is like a parabola. But here the parabola, if we would write it as a graph, it's a one that whose two lines descend, and it comes to a summit at the top. Means there's a parabola that actually looks like a mountain, and it has only five positive numbers to it, which are once more the three numbers of the three mountains themselves, and then another two numbers before the 304, which is 244 and 80. So altogether, it has exactly five positive numbers to the series. Now the two numbers that we added by calculating the series also together equal a square number. The three numbers of the mountains is 26 squared. But if we take now these other two numbers, which are 244 and 80, together is 324, which is 18 squared. Now even more amazing, 26 squared plus 18 squared, these two square numbers together equal even a more consonant number, which is exactly 1,000. 676 plus 324 altogether equals 1,000, which is 10 cubed, 10 to the third power. Meaning that the full series of the five positive numbers equals no more and no less than exactly 1,000. Which itself divides into two perfect squares, 26 squared and 18 squared. Another very, very amazing numerical phenomenon about this series, which is derived from these three special mountains in the beginning of Deuteronomy, is that we'll skip, there are five numbers here, so we'll skip the first and the third and the fifth together equal 496. 496 is the value of Malchut, of kingdom, the final of the 10 divine Sefirot. And the other two numbers, which are the second and the fourth number, 260 and 244, together equal 504. Now, 496, this will just mention it, for those who have a little bit of familiarity and background in the number theory, 496 is a perfect number. What does a perfect number mean? Now we're talking about a mathematical term. Sometimes when we say perfect number, we're referring to a square number, to 1,000, which is like a perfect cube. But in mathematics, there's a very definite, in number theory, there's a very definite meaning to that term, perfect number, which means a number that if you take all of its divisors, every other number that divides it besides itself, and then make a summation, a sum of all of the numbers that divide it, all of the numbers that divide it will equal itself. So the first number is 1, which is non-significant. The second such number is 6, because what divides 6? 1, 2, and 3, but 1, 2, and 3 equals 6. The next number is 28. 6 is the number of letters of the first word in the Torah. 28 is the number of letters in the first verse of the Torah. And after the number 28, so the next number which is perfect is 496. Now there's another concept in mathematics, even a more rare phenomenon, that two numbers as a pair, not each one is perfect in itself, but all of the divisors of one number of the pair will sum to equal the other number, and all of the divisors of the other number will sum to equal the first number. The only known such pair up until just maybe 100 years ago are the pair of numbers 220 and 284. That all of the numbers that divide 284 sum to equal 220, and all of the numbers that divide 220 are sum to equal 284. These are called amiable numbers. That the two numbers, like a pair of two friends, that all those that divide one equal the other, and all those that divide the other equal the first. In Kabbalah, the last perfect number before 1,000 is 496, which equals Leviathan, the Leviathan. If you put a chet in that word Leviathan, then it splits into two words. It becomes a phrase in the Proverbs, which is Leviathan, which is a graceful pair of mates, like of marriage mates, called Leviathan. Leviathan is 504. Leviathan is all by itself, is one by itself, is a perfect number in and of itself, 496. The other is 504. When you add these two numbers together, 496 and 504, so that gives you 1,000. So this division also appears in our mountains, in the series that comes out of our mountains, which is 112, 260, 304, 244, and 80. Okay, now that was a whole mathematical analysis. Now to a more visual analysis. There's a very, very, very important verse that we read and to pray often to Hashem from Psalms, in Psalm number 121, which reads, "I lift my eyes up to the mountains. From where shall my help, my aid come from?" Then the verse continues to read, "My Ezrimim Hashem, my help is from Hashem, who has made the heavens and the earth, and who is continuously creating and recreating heavens and earth." So one of the secrets of this verse, that I lift my eyes up to the mountains, means that actually this refers to these two mountains, which themselves are amiable, a pair of mountains that go together. And as we'll presently see, the Mount of the Curse, which is Eval, is actually included within the Mountain of the Blessing, in accordance with the principle of Kabbalah that the left is always meant to be included within the right. So the mountains that are alluded to in that most important verse, that I lift my eyes up to the mountains, are these two mountains. just exactly as the priests and the Levites standing below each time lift their eyes up to the mountains, first to the right. The right is the south, which to express the blessings, and then to the left, which is the north, to the Mount of Eval, to express the curse. So by lifting my eyes to the mountains, first of all, we see that these two mountains correspond to the eyes, just as we said before, as the whole Torah portion begins, Re'eh, you shall see with your eyes. And then it says, Me'ayin, the very next word in the verse is, I lift my eyes up to the mountains, Me'ayin, from where? That word from where literally reads from nothing, from the divine nothingness. And that word ayin, which is written with an aleph, is understood in Kabbalah to be the inner essence of I, which is also pronounced the same way ayin, it's just it's written with the letter ayin. So once more, I lift my eyes, what does it say? It reads, Esa einai el harim, I lift my eyes, my physical eyes up to the mountains. May ayin, I reach the vision of divine nothingness, from there, from the ayin, will come my help and my aid. The verse reads, another verse in Proverbs reads, and also another verse in the book of Job reads, V'hachochma me'ayin timatzei, that wisdom comes out of the divine nothingness, me'ayin. This is exactly the same word that's quoted here in the verse in Psalms. Wisdom is the mountain of Gerizim, but it says that wisdom comes out, is found, or becomes existent from the nothing. Bachokhma me'ayin timatzei in Kabbalah, and the Zohar and Chassidus explained that the word timatzei comes into existence as only when it becomes one with Bina, which here is the Mount of Eval, meaning that even though the appearance is the appearance of the blessing, but there's a unity, a hidden unity of the curse, which is balancing, as we said before, the secret of the blessing. Now, one final observation. When we say, I lift my eyes up to the mountains, that word, He'arim, the mountains, if the letters are rearranged, it spells Hamoriah. We said that we're going to come to a fourth mountain. The fourth mountain is the mountain of the temple in Jerusalem. The mountain of the temple in Jerusalem is called Har Hamoriah. The word Moriah either means incense, alluding to the incense of the temple, or it means teaching, alluding to the fact that the Ki Mitzion Teitzei Torah, that the Torah, also from the word Moriah, Hashem's Torah and Hashem's teaching to the Jewish people, to all of humanity, comes out of the Holy Temple on Har HaMoriah. Now that word HaMoriah, which is the same as the letters HeHarim, the mountains refer to these two mountains, but this very same letters spell HaMoriah, which is the mountain of the teaching of the Torah in Jerusalem, of the temple. That word also equals exactly 260, which is the name of the mountain, the value of the mountain of the blessing of Gerizim. But it's two mountains, it's Gerizim together with Eval. So once more, this concludes the thought that Eval is included within Gerizim, and both of them are called He'arim, and they both come together. Where do these two mountains come together? They come together in the mountain of the temple, which is Har HaMoriah. That's where they unite, the two mountains. And the mountain of HaMoriah in Kabbalah is actually seen to correspond to another dot in the middle between the right and the left dot, but below them. If the Mount of Hermon is like the crown at the top of the head, and then these two mountains that we're looking at, since we're looking at, they represent themselves, the two eyes, the right and the left eye, Rizim and Eval, which in the Sfirot represent wisdom and understanding, the mountain of Moriah is called Da'at. The Da'at is the fourth point that has just been just exactly under the crown, the Keter, but it's beneath the two mountains, which are the two eyes to the right and to the left. And that's why the phrase for this mountain itself says that the mountain of Moriah, where the temple is built, represents the point between the shoulders. It's called Bein Kitfim. That's physically, even the way the mountain appears. And there's a slight crevice in the mountain, and that crevice appears like between the two shoulders of an ox, even, it says, and that's where the mountain, that's where the temple is built, on that part of the mountain. And that image in Kabbalah is called Da'at. Da'at is the third intellectual power of the soul, but it's also the power that connects the mind to the heart, to the emotions. And since it connects these two apparently opposite faculties of the soul, intelligence and emotion, it means that it derives ultimately from an even higher source than both. I mean, it actually is reflecting, the Har HaMoriah is reflecting Har HaCherem. So actually altogether we have now three mountains that equal, their numerical value is 26 squared. And then we have another mountain which unites the two mountains to the right and the left, which is Har HaMoriah, and that equals once more 10 times 26, meaning that all four mountains together now will equal 36 times 26. The number is 936, meaning that the average value of each one of these four mountains will now be 9 times 26, which is 234. So we can go on to meditate many, many beautiful allusions, and especially numerical allusions, about these mountains. But the conclusion of our meditation this week is that we have here our four mountains that have to do with Israel, with the land of Israel, which are Hermon, the crown, and Grizim and Eval, the two eyes, which are the two inner intellectual powers of wisdom and understanding. And then the culmination is Har HaMoriah. Now, even before entering Israel, there was one original mountain, which is the mountain that we receive the Torah, that Har HaMoriah has to also be turned back and unite and be enwedged. Since it's the Torah coming out of the world, it obviously must relate to the very first mountain the Torah was given in the first place. What mountain is that? That's Har Sinai. But Sinai also is a multiple of 26. It equals 130, which is 5 times 26. Meaning that the relation between the Mount Sinai, which is equals the word I itself, Ayin, 130, 5 times 26, and then Har HaMoriah, which is the Temple Mountain, which is 10 times 26, is called the relation of half to whole, which is very, very deep. We'll not explain it now. A very, very deep secret in Kabbalah, that the half is the 130 and the whole is the 260. Sinai is 130 and HaMoriah is 260. Also Grizim is also 260. So meaning that actually we have a whole union now of five mountains, that even before the Hermon, as we didn't discuss when we talked about Tvarim, we have about Har HaCherem, the whole Jewish people, we see the Torah begins on Har Sinai, and then our other four mountains that correspond to Keter and to Chochmah and to Bina and to Da'at.
You have been listening to a lecture by Rabbi Yitzchak Ginzburg, recorded and presented to you free of charge by Galina Institute. Your donation will help us to bring an ever-expanding selection of quality audio lectures by Rabbi Ginzburg. Galina Institute is a non-profit organization, and all donations are tax-deductible in the USA. To donate, just click on the Donate button on the Inner Dimension homepage at www.inner.org, www.inner.org. In Hebrew, Galinai means open my eyes. These words are from the verse in Psalms, open my eyes, that I may behold the wonders of your Torah. Under the leadership of Rabbi Ginsburg, our goal is to open the world's eyes to the light of the inner dimension of Torah, to discover God, and to connect to Him in all that we do. As we learn from the Baal Shem Tov, spreading this light will hasten the complete and true redemption. We invite you to join the Gaudi Night team and participate with Rabbi Ginsburg in learning, teaching, and spreading the inner dimension of Torah, Kabbalah and Hasidut. Together, the Gaudi Night team will change the world, bringing God's loving kindness, health, happiness, and true peace to all. For more information about Rabbi Yitzchak Ginsburg's teachings and how to participate with the Gaudi Night team, visit the Inner Dimension website at www.inner.org, www.inner.org, or email us at inner@inner.org.